views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub from Empowerment Radio as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges in our day-to-day lives. Find out how you can use the power of your mind to overcome self-sabotaging patterns and build a solid foundation of confidence and self-respect. Learn cutting-edge tools and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. This is the time to empower yourself. Now, here's your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Welcome to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann, and I wish you a happy Wednesday. Today, it is all about optimism. The title of the show is Contagious Optimism. And for some of you, the word optimism may bring up a cringe or maybe a little lazy smile because it's something that you haven't felt in a long time. And for some of you, the question is, what is actually optimism? What does it actually mean? So to quote some of the great ones, like Harry Truman, he says, a pessimist is one who makes difficulties of his opportunities, and an optimist is one who makes opportunities out of his difficulties. Lincoln said, we can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorn bushes have roses. And Oscar Wilde said, the optimist sees the donut, the pessimist sees the hole. So obviously, there is a big difference between pessimism and optimism. It's just how we perceive the world, how we go about it. But these days, when we think about it, many people feel there is not a real lot of reasons to feel optimistic. There is so much going on in the world in regards to terror, the economy, political turmoils, that people just feel we need to be more realistic. We need to embrace that things gonna get worse, that shoes gonna drop. In fact, a recent survey said that 50% of Americans expect that for the next generation, life will be much harder than for this generation. So pessimism seems to be more in the forefront of people's mind, and optimism goes a little bit on the back burner. But is optimism really something that we can so easily ignore? Isn't optimism something that can be very useful? Or is optimism just really naivete, something that is out of touch, something that's almost careless? You cannot really be too optimistic because you're going to just get burnt. Now, a study suggests that optimism is actually healthy. Some studies showed that people that have been very pessimistic have a 42% higher likelihood to die in a certain time frame than people that are highly optimistic. Optimism has been linked to lower blood pressure, to lower cholesterol, to just in general a boost in immune system, and also in your performance. People that were optimistic were better salespeople, were better able to deal with drawbacks by looking for opportunities to resolve the issues, whereas pessimists are thinking more about, well, there is nothing I can do, or they felt there is something wrong with them, and that's why they had a setback or a failure. So in some ways, no matter how you slice it, optimism has really its advantages. It seems that optimism may even get you better through life and better prepared for any eventualities than pessimism. But to really explore all of this, I have invited an expert on optimism, someone who has made a name of himself by investigating optimism. And his name is linked to the book Contagious Optimism. David Messapel is the best-selling author of Contagious Optimism, an uplifting book series and global brand that contains real stories from real people around the globe. The purpose of this book is to help find the silver linings, no matter what we may be going through in life. And David will talk a little bit more about his background and why optimism in his life was useful and something that he was always getting back to, especially when he went through his own trials and tribulations. So welcome, David, to the show, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love your show, so it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. Well, David, first of all, are you an optimist? Would you call yourself an optimist?
I do call myself an optimist, but I'm not the pie-in-the-sky optimist that makes people nauseous at dinner parties or restaurants. I'm more of what I call a realist and an optimist, and I believe that's why more people can relate to me versus boo me off a stage or roll their eyes when I talk about being positive and all that.
Now, have you in your own life felt that optimism served you well?
Absolutely. No question. Through all kinds of good and bad issues in my life, I have always tried to find the silver lining, and I always look forward, never back, except for maybe the wisdom I learned and gained. And because of that attitude, things always worked out, even in those dark moments. And that's when I started getting into this project.
So what was one of those examples where you really needed to find a way to see the silver lining again?
Sure. Well, one example of many, we might as well use financial because a lot of people have financial issues. Well, back in the 90s, I ran a company in the technology sector. We did very well. I started it right out of college, and we grew and grew. And what happened was during the same rally, we were working with a lot of technology vendors and companies in Silicon Valley during the height of the tech boom when tech stocks were doing extremely well. Well, we invested a lot into those companies in Silicon Valley, and we were really crushed by March, April of 2000 when the antitrust suit came against Microsoft, and the stock exchange and the NASDAQ did not like the effect of the overblown market. We were just crushed. Our clients couldn't afford to pay their bills. We had all these open invoices. We were heavily invested in companies that just went bankrupt. It was really a bad time, and we were supporting banking, but on the technology side, and that got really hurt as well. So I thought it was, you know, at that point we were in business 10 years, and I thought, you know, nothing was ever going to hurt us. We were on a major run, and we had to terminate. We had to lay people off. We had to downsize. We were really hurt, and it was really hard to accept. I was pretty young at the time, but I was positive. I looked at emerging markets. I looked at what value was out there. I learned the benefit of diversification. I learned a lot, and because of that, we were able to come through stronger than we were before. And by 2007, 7 years later, we were doing very well, and I actually sold the company at that point.
That's a great example. So were you right away feeling like, okay, there is somehow an opportunity here, or did you also fall a little bit into a hole?
No, at first, you know, you go through stages, like, you know, almost, it's not death and dying by any means, but you go through these stages, like you just don't believe it. You don't want to accept it. You ignore it. There's just no way. You actually I almost made things worse in the very beginning. I kept chipping away thinking this is temporary. But then, and one of the reasons why I like people's stories is because then I started studying past cycles and cyclical markets. And I started realizing this is not the first time we've had a crash. This is not the first time an overblown economy has shattered. So I learned from the past, and I started rolling forward. But at first, definitely, it was a hole, for sure.
Yeah, so you don't have to be an optimist that is immediately saying, okay, there is something good in it. It's okay also, probably from the stories that you have collected, to have the moment of grief and the moment of pain and the moment of fear before you're switching gears back into optimism.
That's correct. I say quite often that when people are just optimistic and nothing else, they tend to be in the clouds. They're just out there. And when people are just realistic and nothing else, then they might not get past first base because they're always finding an excuse not to move forward. But when you're optimistic and realistic at the same time, you accept whatever's in front of you and do your best to chip through it, then that's when true success happens, I believe. And that's why a lot of these books and DVDs that talk about, you know, law of attraction and close your eyes and wish for this, that's wonderful and all, but you need to add effort to that. You need to add some reality. You can't just close your eyes and think that tomorrow you're going to have money or the best relationship or your health back, or you're going to pass that exam or get that job. No, you need to be positive and wish for it and pray if you're religious, but you also need to be realistic and take the effort to make it happen. And that's the difference between me and some of these ideologies in the optimism realm.
Well, we'll definitely talk more about that. So if you have any questions or any comments for David or me, call in at 888-418-6890 or also ask your questions on the chat box on the Transformation Talk Radio website. We will be right back with talking about optimism, the advantages, the drawbacks, and how to do it right.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the Maca Team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann, and today we're going to talk about contagious optimism. What is optimism? How can we get more of it? What should we not do with optimism, and how should we apply it in our life? And for that, I have the author of Contagious Optimism, David Mazzapelle, invited to join us and share a little bit about what he found in his search for people that have lived with, succeeded, and overcome obstacles through optimism. David, thank you again for being on the show. Now, you have written this book, and what actually drove you or what motivated you to write this book?
Well, it was a couple of events, really. First of all, when I started my company in 1990, right out of college, I needed employees, but I really couldn't afford them. So I thought, you know, I was an intern myself. I worked for IBM for 3.5 years, almost 4 years. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll hire interns. So I came up with a strategy to hire interns in the early 90s, which back then the only interns you saw were like legal or healthcare, and usually Fortune 500 companies. You didn't see small business hiring interns. It was not really heard of. So I created this concept, and I grew it and grew it. And my alma mater in Connecticut, Fairfield University, they were watching what I was doing, hiring interns from there and other colleges. And it was a very positive environment that I created. And in addition to bringing on interns, I really motivated them because I knew that once they learned my culture and worked for me, the better ones I could hire without retraining them, they'd already be on board. It was a perfect segue to grow, I thought, to grow a company. Mm-hmm. So I did. And over the years, Fairfield kept saying to me, you know, you should write a book on optimism and innovation in business, ways to grow a company or ways to improve a company that might be failing or going through high costs, whatever. They really wanted me to write a book on optimism, but specifically for business. So I never had time. I never did.
Right.
But by 2010, I did have some time. And it occurred to me that I was always a huge fan of people's stories. You know, I grew up the youngest in my family. My mom was one of 11. I had so many aunts, uncles, cousins. Because I was the youngest, I was exposed to older relatives and older family friends, and I never got enough of their stories. So I realized, you know, I'm going to do this, but let's not just make it about business. Let's make it about different themes in life, and let's look at the Chicken Soup for the Soul model, which is a great book series.
Right.
I thought, you know, that would be a great way to go, but make it more modern, make it non-denominational in terms of religion, so we welcome all religions and stories from all over the globe across a variety of themes in life. And that's essentially what happened. And that's how the book came to be.
That's it. Well, it's a fascinating book. There are wonderful stories in there. I think it's very, very well done. And is there one story? I'm sure most stories really, really touched you. But is there one story where you feel like, yeah, that's definitely a wonderful example of the power of optimism?
Sure. Well, I appreciate you asking. So, there's so many stories, and you have to realize that we have two books out, and we're very fortunate that both books are bestsellers. And both of them, I donate my royalties back to my alma mater and other charity. So, I'd say the first book we had about 3,000-4,000 stories that came in, and we had to go through and pick about 110 in the first book. And the second book, we went through about 5,000 stories, and it's about the same thing, about 100 stories we ended up picking. So you can imagine how difficult it was. But we didn't throw them away. We actually put them in an essay bank for future books if the need was there for their type of story. So one story, for example, that I love, which is in our second book, is about a girl named Yvette Pegas. She's from Georgia here in the United States. And you want me to give you a synopsis?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Great story. So Yvette was born, she had a genetic brain malformation. And they knew that very early on, but she still was able to completely function like a normal, healthy human being the best she could. She obtained her bachelor's degree, her master's degree. She was the first in her family to graduate high school and college, no less get the master's. She then eventually landed a job at IBM, and she traveled all over the world. She learned five languages fluently. English, Spanish, actually, I wrote this down, English, Spanish, French, Creole, and, of course, an American Sign Language to deal with the deaf. She eventually got married and had two boys, who I actually met last year, finally in person. But in 2010, she had complications, and she was forced to have surgery to correct her malformation. Mm-hmm. And during the surgery, she suffered a brainstem stroke, which left her permanently disabled. And I met her because I was the keynote speaker at the Miss Wheelchair USA pageant in Ohio. But what happened was, once she got through, you know, even though she became permanently disabled, it didn't stop her at all. She came out of the hospital eventually with the absolute best attitude. She served as a first responder to the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. She then competed in the 2010 Miss Wheelchair USA pageant for her state, for Georgia. And then in 2014, she won the national pageant, which, again, is where I met her. And that event changed my life, and meeting her and the others just like her was amazing. And then, now she's doing all this permanently disabled from a wheelchair, everything she's doing. And part of her platform, because you have to have a platform to compete in these things, her platform was teaching others how to overcome adversity through community service and through literacy. And her goal was to help children all over the world, and even, you know, through the U.S. and throughout the world, learn how to write. And so far, she's gotten 10,000 books written from children all over the world, small little books that these children published about their lives.
Wow. That's fascinating. Wow. Well, you go. Now, is she disabled from the neck down, or from the chest down, or what? How far does her disability go?
She has use of her hands, but that's it. Below that, she's permanently in a wheelchair. She has no use of her feet or legs, her waist or torso, none of it. She could use her hands. If you talk to her just sitting down, it's hard to even tell that she has this affliction, but she's unbelievable.
Great. Does she say that she's an optimist?
She does. She absolutely does.
Does she say what she thinks in those moments where, you know, let's say she realizes that she is disabled? I mean, at some point that optimism kicked in for her. What was she thinking? Did she explain that to you?
Yes, and the interesting thing is that all the women I met at that particular event, who all competed for their state and won and then competed nationally, they all had a very similar attitude. Some were born disabled, but most of them, it came later, whether it was an accident or an illness.
Right.
And their attitudes, like hers, were just, okay, yeah, this sucks. This is a bummer. But I'm going to make the best of it because I have no choice. You know, I have nothing to lose from being positive versus the stress I'm definitely going to gain from being negative. There's nothing I could do. And that is so impressive. Beyond the fact that these girls are beautiful, their attitudes were even more beautiful. And this is a perfect example. One of 50, if you will.
What a great story. You know, what I find so wonderful about this story is also the difference between what a pessimist, a realist, and an optimist would do in this moment, because a pessimist probably would give up and say, you know, my life is over. That's not what I can do. a realist who's just focusing on realism would say, okay, this is what I can do. I can just maneuver around day to day. I just basically have to learn to take care of myself. But there is not necessarily the idea of being of service or taking care of others. And the optimist, right, like she is, who obviously was just thinking bigger and broader and still saw so much purpose and service in her life that she could give and share with the world. That is a very, very fascinating story. And it's humbling, because how many times do we feel that whatever happens in our lives is really devastating and hard? And compared to what you just shared, I mean, we probably, most of us could say, we are extremely blessed and lucky, because we do have our health, we have our mobility, we have our ways of getting around without anybody's help. It's certainly something that puts a lot of things into perspective. So that's thank you for sharing that. Now, what would you recommend, David, in regards to, you know, if you meet someone who just feels down, who feels right now, especially with a world situation, with the growing threats at all corners of this earth, what would you tell a person about optimism and how to be more optimistic?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And obviously, you know, in light of everything that's going on, I don't want to sugarcoat by any means, or even try to find a bright side of some of the terrible things, especially what just happened in your neck of the woods in mm-hmm. East France. Terrible. I believe if I was having a conversation with somebody about, you know, how do you remain positive or remain optimistic with these things happening, it's a great conversation to have. And I do believe that there's five habits or five steps that seem to be the common denominator among people that either find optimism or maintain optimism in their life. And no matter what's going on in the world, we all learn from stories. We all learn from things that have happened, and it's unfortunate when it's happening in large volume, especially right. when it's happening now. It's more dramatic. It's a lot easier to say, oh yeah, that happened years ago, but look at the outcome. But we're in the middle of this terror hell, and so it's really sad. But I do believe a couple things. And first is,
can I actually just keep you online, because we have to take a little break, and afterwards, sure, maybe you would be willing just to share those five steps that you mentioned and help us to get out of any potential pessimism. So when we come back, we talk more with David Messapel about contagious optimism. If you want to get a hold of his book or find out more about him, go to contagiousoptimism, all in one word, .com. We will be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedman. Today we talk about optimism with our expert, the author of Contagious Optimism. And we just touched before the break on five steps that David, in his research with people that have been sharing stories with him about how optimism helped them to get out of a crunch or get out of a hole, he mentioned that there are five steps that seem to be common ways for people to reach a level of optimism that catapulted them forward. So what are those five steps, David?
Sure. Yes, you know, in life, it's amazing. There are so many habits and steps that people take, and I actually write about that in our second book. But there's five, as you mentioned, there's five that seem to be the common denominators among all these stories we get, no matter what the theme of the story is, whether it's loss or financial or health or relationships or sports, there just seems to be five, and I'm happy to recite them. The first is gratitude. You have to be grateful for even the smallest things in life. It truly prevents us from sweating the small stuff and allows us to appreciate the blessings. It could be looked like last night. I was looking at the full moon through a tree in the middle of the night. It's just so cool. You know, it could be just looking at water or looking at a blue sky or looking at rain or just, you know, being out with friends, having a good time. There's nothing special about that, but be grateful for these things.
Right.
The second is stories. Mm-hmm. Like what we're doing right here. When people are going through tough times, they tend to think they're alone. But when they hear stories of how others have persevered, it gives them hope. And hope is the foundation of optimism. People that experience good times in prosperity, well, it's important for them to hear stories as well, because it helps them appreciate what they have and what it took to get there. And people that are going through tough times, well, they need to hear stories and know that there's optimism in the future and know that there is a silver lining in the current cloud. So that's stories. And I love people's stories, as I've indicated. The third is called, I call it the magnet. Optimism is the happiness magnet, which is a quote I often talk about from Mary Lou Retton, the Olympic gymnast from a few years ago. You want to surround yourself with good, uplifting people. You know, their happiness, their positive attitude is certainly contagious. And sometimes it is difficult to avoid the negative people because that's contagious as well. They could bring you down. The naysayers, the cynics, you know, it's just as contagious as optimism. They could be in our office, our classrooms, our apartment. It doesn't matter. You just want to ignore their chatter and just tolerate them. It doesn't mean you need to absorb their energy. So don't let yourself. Don't let their negative opinions, don't take it to heart. So optimism is a happiness magnet. Surround yourself with good people. The fourth is reflection. Look at your own reflection and remember that what others do or say is a reflection of their own reality, not yours. Don Miguel Ruiz talks about the five agreements.
Right.
And this is essentially, this is one of them, which totally impressed me. It's really true. Whatever people have a hard time with, if they take it out on you or whatever it may be, that's their reality, not yours.
So yes, very true.
Your reflection and know that. And the last, which is very, very important, especially now with everything going on, is altruism. No matter what is taking place in your life currently, helping others is tantamount to your own happiness and the happiness of others. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be time, talent, or treasure. Give to others when you can. Even if it's just a phone call to say, hey, I miss you, or hey, you look really pretty today, just be altruistic in your nature or figure out how to, which is not hard to do, because that will make you feel better and get through the tough times easier. And those are
well,
the five.
These are all doable, aren't they? I mean, we just have to remember them. We can just really look at everything we're grateful for every day. We can let ourselves be inspired by those people like you and all these wonderful people in your books. We can certainly surround ourselves with positive messages like Transformation Talk Radio and let ourselves be that uplifting magnet. We can be kinder to ourselves and realize that perception of others is just a projection and we need to make up our own minds. And as you said, we need to also be willing to share more of the gifts and the light and the love that we have in our hearts with the world. And these are wonderful steps, very powerful. And in some ways you could say, well, they're a little surprising because I think they are not necessarily aiming for optimism, but they are creating optimism. It's different than thinking about, you know, what you want. It's more like being that change and being that positivity that you want to experience more in the world of. So, well, I know, David, that you probably have to go because you said you had only half an hour. So I'm sorry for keeping you longer, but thank you so much for just joining us here on the show. It was really a treat to have you. And again, if you're interested in finding out more about David, go to contagiousoptimism.com, get the book. They're everywhere available. And these are the stories we need to hear more about. These are the inspirations that will also make you realize, well, this person could do it. So who's to say that I cannot do it? Whatever it is that you feel like you need to overcome, whatever obstacle you're facing, whatever problem there is a silver lining for you to grow from it. And just like David talked about in his personal example, there is a way to get stronger from it and become a better person through it. So thanks again, David, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you. It was great, great talking and being on your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, optimism is certainly something that right now is needed. And David touched upon several things that I think are worth just to go with and have a closer look at. And one of them is the downside of optimism, when optimism is used in a way that may not really serve us well. And this is when we are using optimism as a way of just being in wishful thinking. You know, when, let's say, for example, you are having a spot on your skin and you're feeling like, well, that's growing. Oh, that's actually bleeding. But it's okay. It's fine. My body gonna just take care of it. And of course, you know, for some this may work, but overall, you're not really taking responsibility for yourself. This is maybe something that you need to get checked out, that you need to get removed. So if you're only having this mindset of I ignore the problem and I'm going to just think about what I want instead, you're not really dealing with the problem. And I really believe that we are here not just to create with our thoughts some kind of a magical outcome. I think we are here to create with what we are and what we have inside of us that life that we are here to share with others, to experience with ourselves. So we need to really take responsibility and we need to be engaged. Now, another way optimism may not really work that well is when you're setting your expectations too high. Sometimes I hear people talking about the goals when they are talking with me from all over the world, that they are really in a very difficult place, but through their goals, through their ideas of optimism, they are setting their wish list so high that something inside of them knows you can't, this is impossible. And so even though their mind says, no, I will get married in 1 year, I'm going to have a kid in 2 years, and I'm going to be a millionaire in another, they are not necessarily realizing that this is quite unrealistic. This is really something that goes way beyond what is possible. And so even though this is maybe a wonderful wish to have, it may actually deflate you more. It may set you up more for failure than it brings you positive energy. Then it lifts you really up. So these are all things that you want to really consider. Can I make optimism work for me? And now in my experience, I believe there are two parts to optimism. The one part is the optimism that life will work out well. That's the optimism that really is supported when we have a spiritual belief, when we have a belief in the goodness in life, when we have a belief that there is a greater power. So that's the optimism and the trust that comes from there. But then there is also the optimism in ourselves. There is a trust and the belief and the confidence that we have the strengths, the resources, the abilities to create what we want, to deal with the challenges that come our way, to make lemonade out of lemons. There is also that trust in yourself. And when you put them both together, you can create a very powerful set, a powerful energy of optimism that can lift you out of any kind of troubles or negative thinking or feeling that you are hitting a dead end or that the world is really going down the drain. When we come back, we will talk more about what concrete steps can you take for yourself to have both sides of optimism, the optimism in life and the optimism in yourself, really merge together and create that rocket fuel for you to propel yourself forward on your path.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedman, and if you have any question about optimism, how to make yourself more optimistic, how to see things more positively, how to make optimism more a positive tool for you than maybe something that in the past you felt like, well, it only leads to letdown and disappointment, call in. The number, I have to look it up again, 888-418-6890. Again, that's 888-418-6890. Or maybe you have a wonderful story to share about how optimism helped you and changed your life. Now, we talked about just before the show with David about the steps to become more optimistic or what you can do to fuel your optimism. And I shared a little bit about the two sides of optimism. There is the optimism, the trust in life or a greater power, and there is also that trust in yourself and your inner resources. And there was a research program that was done that was investigating women that were surviving the Holocaust, that were surviving concentration camps, and was observing them for 20 years. And it was just trying to find out what's the difference between the women that are really in post-traumatic stress for the rest of their lives and never really able to have a normal life again, who just live in those horrors consistently, and the women that are able to somehow move on and still have a life that brings them joy and fulfillment. And the difference was exactly those two factors, the factor of believing that life on some level makes sense and that there is some positive outcome. And the other was believing that they have the resources inside to make the best out of it, just as like this example that David was sharing. Now, how do we strengthen this trust? Let's start with the trust in life. How do we strengthen this belief that things will work out? Now, David mentioned gratitude, which I think is a fabulous idea, because when we are looking at what we can appreciate, we can actually count our blessings. We can see how many things are working well. And for that, it's also worth to look at the positive synergies in life. Things that you just feel like, wow, somehow I'm in the flow. I'm thinking about Peter and somehow I'm running into him at the coffee store. Or I'm on a walk and I notice my nose is running, I have no tissues, and lo and behold, 10 feet later, you see a whole new pack of tissues laying on the floor. Things like that, where you just feel like somehow there are these positive happenstances, synergies that make your life easier. Another one is just also to proclaim to yourself that this is the best thing, something positive will come out. Now, my wife, Danielle, had an example like that where she was participating in a triathlon. It was the first time she did that. She was really working hard for it. She prepared herself. And when the day came, she was really motivated in top form. It was a beautiful day. And she started with the swimming. She really had a good time, the time that she hoped to get. And then she went on the bike. And I was waiting at the finish line. And there was no one coming. Just minute and minute went by, and I knew that from her training, she should be already there, but somehow she didn't show up. There were all these people that came after her coming through the line and starting to run their final run, and somehow she didn't show up. And then finally, I saw her in the distance with a red head and feeling really just like exhausted already, throwing the bike down, getting her shoes on and starting the run. And I wondered what happened, what was going on. And so when she finally made it then through the finish line at the end, she just fell on the floor and was completely done and exhausted. And I picked up her bike. I pushed it then to the car and I realized that her brakes were stuck. The brakes of the bike hadn't actually been loose. So she was riding her bike the whole time with the brakes on. Not firmly on, but on enough to slow her completely down and drain her energy. And you know, at the beginning she was upset, but then she actually laughed and she said, well, there must be a reason for that. Now, 4 weeks later, she got in the mail a little package from the organizer with a diamond necklace. Now, it turns out that every 100th participant, and there were thousands, every 100th participant received a diamond necklace. And so because her time was exactly 2,500 or something like that, she was also one recipient of this little gift, which she is cherishing since ever then, because that's always reminding her of, well, her attitude of there is something good coming out of it was rewarded. So just keep your eyes open when you're thinking this is really bad. Find a way to also believe, well, I wonder what's going to happen. Maybe you have, you know, work with clients and then you are having a cancellation and you have some time open and you just say, okay, I wonder who will show up or what I'm supposed to do or what will happen that actually is the best thing right now. That can all help you to increase your level of trust and confidence in life. And then when it comes to yourself, really build the trust in your inner resources by also appreciating yourself, noticing what are things that you do well every day. How often do we take our genius for granted? How often do we just say, oh yeah, everybody does that. Everybody is kind. Everybody is looking after the neighbor when she is ill. Everybody is trying to always be respectful and on time. Well, the truth is no. You may do things every day. You may find ways to juggle your kids, go to work, call in to your parents, and everything with some kind of a routine and an ease that you take for granted, but you're not realizing how special that is. So take an inventory. Look at yourself and see your strength, see your power, see your creativity, and see that you're made of someone, that you have the ingredients that allow you to trust yourself and that allow you to take whatever happens in life and make the best out of it. Also, look back. I like for my clients to think about the obstacles they already overcame in life, the accomplishments they created, and just think about what were the qualities, what were the strengths that allowed them to overcome these obstacles, to have those successes, those accomplishments. That also gives you a sense of that there is a lot inside of you that you can rely on, that you can believe in, and that you can trust in. This is not about comparing yourself with others. This is not about, you know, trying to measure up. This is simply for you to find, this is my true strength. This is who I am. This is what I'm made of. And this is why I believe in myself. And then, of course, it's also very helpful in order to really open up to that optimism, to set goals, to just tell yourself, you know what, I'm just going to put optimism into action. I'll tell myself by, you know, in 4 weeks, I would like to have, let's say you want a new friend. You just want to open up for a new friendship. It's a perfect example because on the one hand, you may need to have life bring you that person. You may need to just be open to have someone enter into your life that could be a friend. But at the same time, when life brings you this opportunity, it's also up to you to say yes to it and chat up a conversation, exchange phone numbers, make a coffee date, and just feel like, yeah, we have really a good connection. That is wonderful. Thank you, life, universe, whatever you want to call it. And thank myself for being open to take this opportunity. And I think that's exactly what David was talking about when he said that the law of attraction alone may not be enough. And I think in the meantime, there are also updated versions to the law of attraction. But I believe in the law of attraction. I believe that our mindsets, that we have the power to attract, to be these magnets of positive things to come into our life when we are open and when we are focusing on them and when we have the right energy. But it doesn't mean that this is all. This may be just simply a door that's open. This may be just an opportunity that presents itself, but we need to seize it. We need to make the best out of it. This is why optimism and positivity is like a dance. You're dancing with life. You're dancing with the universe. You need to be in step with it. You need to be ready for the beat, and you need to really watch what you're doing, and you need to be a part of that. But when you do, life feels so much more easy and so much more enjoyable. And that is what the power of optimism can give us. We are looking out on TV and the internet and just seeing that the world in all different corners may be difficult and challenging. But then when you really look into your front yard or at your neighbors or at your community, there is so much potential for joy, for love, for laughter, for sharing. That is what optimism is also about, to really be willing to see, you know, what can I do to bring more light into this world? How can I be the change that I want to experience in life? How can I be the one that makes a difference just by having that hopeful, positive, and optimistic attitude? So set just your intention for the rest of the week to be that source of optimism, that source of positivity, that person who points out all the things that are good and that we can trust in and that we can be grateful for. Well, I don't know how the hour went by so quickly again. It was wonderful to be on the show. I hope this was a little bit helpful and inspirational for you to brighten up your day. And until next time, stay optimistic, stay positive, and enjoy the rest of the week. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Empowerment Radio with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Join Dr. Friedemann the first and third Wednesday each month at 11 a.m. Pacific as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges of our daily lives. Discover how you can use the power of your mind to overcome stress, anxiety, and overwhelm and create a solid foundation of confidence and self-esteem. Learn cutting-edge tools so that you can approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. To learn more about what Dr. Schaub can do for you, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.